We'll see as we go what we'll be covering in the weeks to come, but just thought we would kind of wrap it up just with kind of the more recent instances of revival that we know of, and one that I think is very close to home is the Saskatoon Revival in 1971. But we began in 1970 at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. And this revival broke out there on Tuesday, February 3rd, 1970. The regular morning chapel commencing at 10 o'clock saw God move on the students in such a way that many came weeping to the front to kneel in repentance. Others gave testimonies, including confession of sin, and all this was mixed with spontaneous singing. Lectures were canceled for the day as the auditorium filled with over 1,000 people. Few left for meals. By midnight, over 500 still remained, praying and worshiping. Several hundred committed their lives to Christ that day. By 6 a.m. next morning, 75 students were still praying in the hall. And through the Wednesday, it filled again as all lectures were again canceled for the day. The time was filled with praying, singing, confessions, and testimonies. As they continued in prayer that week, many students felt called to share what was happening with other colleges and churches. Invitations were coming from around the country as news of the revival spread. So teams went out from the next weekend to tell the story and give their testimonies. Almost half of the student body of 1,000 was involved in the teams witnessing about the revival. In the first week after the revival began, teams of students visited 16 states by invitation, saw several thousand conversions through their witnessing. After 6 weeks, over 1,000 teams had gone from the college to witness, some of these into Latin America, with finance provided by the home churches of the students. In addition, a neighboring theological seminary sent out several hundred teams of their students who had been caught up in this revival. Those remaining at the college prayed for the teams and heard their reports on their return. Wherever teams went, the revival spread. The college remained the center of the revival, with meetings continuing at night and weekends there, along with spontaneous prayer groups meeting every day. Hundreds of people kept coming to the college to see this revival and participate in it. They took reports and their own testimonies of changed lives back to their churches or colleges, so the revival spread. So then we see this is a revival amongst those referred to as the Jesus people. It says, by June 1971, revival movements had spilled over into the society, thousands of young people gathering in halls and theaters to sing, witness, and repent, quitting drugs and immorality. Pendulum had swung from the permissive hippie dropouts of the 60s to a new wave of conversion and cleansing in the 70s. Time magazine carried a cover article on the Jesus movement. Such national tension has attracted cultic followers of the movement, but amid the extremes, a powerful revival movement kept spreading. Mass baptisms were held in the ocean, with outdoor meetings and teams witnessing on the beaches and in the city streets. New church groups such as Calvary Chapel and its many offshoots emerged, which did not fit traditional denominations. People turned up to these churches in bare feet and old clothes, as well as more traditional attire. Witnessing and evangelism burst spontaneously from lives changed by the love and power of God. So then we get to the Saskatoon Revival in 1971. Bill McLeod, a Baptist minister in his mid-50s, had seen many people healed and answered to prayer, often praying with a group of deacons. Bill invited the twin evangelists, Ralph and Lou Sotera, to speak at his church in Saskatoon. Revival broke out with their visit, which began on Wednesday, October 13, 1971. By the weekend, an amazing spirit gripped the people. Many confessed their sins publicly. The first to do so were the 12 counselors chosen to pray with inquirers. Numbers grew rapidly till the meetings had to be moved to a larger church building and then to the civic auditorium seating 2,000. The movement spread to other churches. The meetings lasted many hours. People did not want to leave. Some stayed on for a later meeting called the Afterglow. Here people received prayer and counsel from the group as they continued to worship God and pray together. Humble confession of sin and reconciliations were common. Many were converted. Taxi drivers became amazed that people were getting cabs home from church late into the night or early in the morning. Others were calling for taxis to take them to church late into the night as they were convicted by the Lord. Young people featured prominently. Almost half of those converted were young. They gave testimonies of lives that had been cleaned up by God and how relationships with their families were restored. The atmosphere in schools and colleges changed from rebellion and cheating to cooperation, with many Bible study and prayer groups forming in the schools and universities. Criminals were also confessing their sins and giving themselves up to the police. Restitution was common. People paid long overdue bills. Some businesses opened new accounts to account for the conscience money being paid to them. Those who cheated at restaurants or hotels returned to pay their full bill. Stolen goods were returned. In November, a team went to Winnipeg and told of the revival at a meeting for ministers. The Holy Spirit moved powerfully and many broke down confessing their sins. Rivalries and jealousies were confessed and forgiven. Many went home to put things right with their families. Ministers took this fire back into their churches, and the revival spread there also, with meetings going late into the night as numbers grew and hundreds were converted or restored. Sherwood Wirt reported on Bill McLeod preaching at Winnipeg on December 15, 1971. "I confess that what I saw amazed me. This man preached for only 15 minutes and he didn't even give an invitation. He announced the closing hymn, whereupon 100 people came out of their seats and knelt at the front of the church. All he said was, 'That's right, keep coming.' Many were young. Many were in tears. All were from the Canadian Midwest, which is not known for its euphoria. It could be said that what I was witnessing was revival. I believe it was." Bill McLeod and a team of six brought the revival to the Eastern Canada when they were invited to speak at the Central Baptist Seminary in Toronto. The meeting there began at 10 a.m. and went through until 1:15 a.m. next morning. Dinner was canceled as no one wanted to leave. They did stop for supper, then went on again. When the Sutera brothers commenced meetings in Vancouver on the West Coast on Sunday, May 5, 1972, revival broke out there also in the Ebenezer Baptist Church, with 2,000 attending the first Sunday. The next Sunday, 3,000 people attended in two churches. After a few weeks, five churches were filled. Revival spread in many churches across Canada into northern USA, especially in Oregon. Everywhere, the marks of the revival included honesty before God and others, with confession of sin and an outpouring of the love of God in those who repented. The German-speaking churches were also touched by the revival, and by May 1972, they chartered a flight to Germany for teams to minister there. The afterglow meetings were common everywhere in the revival. After meeting had finished, those who wanted to stay on for prayer did so. Usually each person desiring prayer knelt at a chair, and others laid hands on them and prayed for them. Many repented and were filled with the Spirit in the afterglow meetings, which often went to midnight or later.